God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has commissioned his servant, Reverend Toluwalugo Agboola, with the mandate of true worship, teaching the church the patterns of true worship. Be blessed as you listen.
Go into utterances of the serpent. Who is like unto thee? Sit down. Okay, you can go. Oh, oh Lord, who is like unto thee? Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5 speakings of the serpent. I'll teach it in three parts. Speakings of the serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, he shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the serpent said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Go on, I'm going to 5. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, this is just a side instruction in verse 3. Every man who has received an instruction from the Lord must guard the actual statements that God made. One of the signs, and I learned it listening to Bishop Oyedepo, is that when you begin to walk with God, you must understand that your walk with God, that's your life before God, will occasion divine utterances. You must have notebooks where you keep what he says to you. I have such notebooks. They have dates. They have times when he spoke to me. Those things are proof that you are serious with his communications, and in years to come, you can go back to find the actual words. When there is ambiguity surrounding what God has said to you, it means there are known and unknowns. That ambiguity becomes a gate of entrance to the enemy. Eve's delivery of the utterance of God was embellished with a second instruction that God did not give. Give me verse 3. God had said, because she was right up to this point, ye shall not eat of it, she was right, neither shall ye touch it, was not captured in the original statement. Every time you add to what God has said, you give the enemy a gate of entrance to contaminate your life. So be very sharp on what God has said. If you forget, remember Jesus says of the Holy Ghost that he shall teach you all things and he shall remind you. Somebody say remind. So the Holy Spirit has a revelatory ministry which captures the experience of a teaching essence and a reminding essence. Lord, what did you say to me? I forgot. Remember that your Lord is your Father. He will bring back the original statements to you so that you are not a prey to the enemy. When the enemy finds out that there are suppositions, when you are not sharp on your instructions, he makes him know that he can smuggle extra things. Are you with me? So please be careful. You can begin tonight. It can be your sermon notes. That's how I used to do my sermon notes. I write my sermons from the front. I write my utterances from the back. After a while, they will meet in the middle. And then I pick another note. So front, back. And if you like, you can put God's word in front. Put the sermon notes at the back. If you put dates on your sermon notes, you can find a, like in my winner's notes now, I just write F, W. Put a colon and write. My F is Father. My W is words. So in the midst of a sermon, God can say something to me that the pastor is not saying. The rest is pastor's word. This one is my Father's words. I write it there with date and timing. Amen. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The Lord just dropped in my heart that for those who don't want to be moving around with books, just look, if you have an Android phone, download, there's this notepad that has a voice writing system. I don't know the name, but if you touch it, it's just like you want to record for WhatsApp, but it does not record voices, it records writing. Definitely there'll be the date, there'll be the time, and then you can, if you don't speak straight English, it will mess up what you're writing a little, but you can even put punctuation. If you say full stop, it doesn't write full stop, it puts a full stop. If you say comma, it puts a comma. Worst case scenario, get a normal voice recorder on your phone, and as the Lord speaks to you, say it there. When you get home, you will write it. Are you with me? We must be intentional. There was a way we're designed to live. And we're designed to live by the proceeding word. It means your next moment is only safe, is only accurate as the last thing that God said. Is anybody getting my point? Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Next verse. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. I will run towards 8 o'clock, and then I'll be done for today. We'll be back on Tuesday. I'll still teach on this, but Tuesday will be a special communion service. The Lord commissioned that we should have a communion service on Tuesday. So we'll be in church by 4:30, and by about 5:30, we will break into the communion service. I will give you the essence of the service on Tuesday. So, but please be in church. Be in church. Say to your neighbor, be in church. It's a special communion service. It's Papa that used to do special communion service. So it's a special communion service. We don't do it all the time. You don't do it all the time. Okay. Now, the sounds of God that seek to bring the church into the planes of acceptable living, acceptable expressions, are upon the church. There are many tools by which God aligns his people. And one of the tools is the sounds that come out of God. They come as speakings. They come as music sometimes. But the end of these sounds is to bring the church to a plane, a clear ground where our lives and our expressions become acceptable unto God. And tonight I'm saying to you that these sounds are already upon the body of Christ. If you are not hearing them, you will need help with hearing, because God is speaking. However, we have discovered that in the midst of these sounds of God that should occasion alignment, there are also sounds that have been heard. And these sounds were deployed from the other world, that's from the demonic realm, to corrode our purity. How many of us know what corrosion is? A simpler word would be to wear out purity, to wear out the strength of pursuit, to wear out the willingness to stay true to our call, sometimes to warfare, sometimes to kingdom establishment and advancement. These sounds have also been sent to wear out our focus on Jesus. So they are basically from my list here. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 things that these sounds do. They wear out purity. They give an occasion for the manifestations of the flesh in an atmosphere of grace. Remember that in trying to explain the concept of the grace of God to us, I said that grace is like a two-sided coin. On one side, it is the unmerited favor of God, and that is what sustains the reality of saving grace. But on the other side of the coin, there is also God's provision for victorious Christian living, which is called enabling grace. So the man who is saved cannot sit and say, well, I'm saved, I know there's iniquity in my life, but I can't get out of it. Because grace that saves also teaches to say no. When you have time, you may need to study Titus 2:11 to see what he's saying. He's not saying he teaches people. And that the byproduct of the teaching is that they will know what is right and wrong. He said he teaches to say no. It means the teaching ministry of grace has a product. The product of the teaching ministry of grace is a people who say no. He teaches them until they can say no. That's how he shows his teaching thing. What are you studying, John? Chemistry. So, did I say no chemistry like this? What are the principles in chemistry? Okay, we have... But you used to do gas law. Abi? Gas law is chemistry. Boyle's law and Charles law. The average teacher teaches you Boyle's law and Charles law and leaves you to your wits. Even if some wicked ones, when they are teaching and you don't get it quickly, they say, see, whether you get it or not, now you know. And then it goes to the next thing. I say, taught gas law now. Eh? I can't hear you. Get Lusak. Okay. Because I know that there are three. Now, a good teacher teaches until you can solve the problems. Grace is a good teacher. It teaches until a product emerges. It means the teaching ministry of grace, if it marks an area of infirmity in your life, we keep instructing until you escape that area of infirmity. He babysits his students. That's how grace teaches. If I don't get results, you don't know it. When I was teaching Father Mass in Goma, I think I taught the most small. Runke was more of my student. I had one of my students come in during the week too. The guy I was speaking to when I was working out the other day. So my student to Victor. Now, I've shared with us that A class is a bright class. I need only four examples to teach them differentiation from first principles. Only one class, one period, four examples. D class is a very good class. You need five periods and many assignments to teach them. And you need many examples. So me, I stopped writing lesson notes. Because lesson notes is supposed to carry four examples to teach them with 16 examples. The D class students, they don't understand first principles. But my job was to ensure that they know it. So sometimes I have changed topic in A. I am still on. Sometimes I'm two topics ahead in A class. So people say, okay, but they're going to write the same exam. Yes, yes, yes. If I teach them five topics, I teach you three. If you do your three well, you still score maybe 60. You still passed. I was bent on them knowing it until I produced students who will score 70 on 70. And I've seen the way they are doing in university, blazing their classes. 70 on 70. If a person scores 69, maybe the person forgot a unit. And I want to show that I'll not help you. Score 60. I had students in further maths who did 99. Asked more, but I'm not nice with marking. That sometimes if you forgot your marking scheme at home, you just need to pick their question paper, mark it, then apportion marks to it. It becomes your new marking scheme. I had a student like that. I think she studied pharmacy in OAE. Nokas Alakide. She was like a wizard. Ha! That's how the Holy Ghost teaches. But there are sounds that corrode the pursuit of purity. That teacher, if you are saved, stay there. You can't be helped out of your infirmity. Forgetting that grace comes with a second side. These sounds make people abandon their willingness to stay true to their call. These sounds weaken people's strength of pursuit. I hope that you know one of the words that best expresses our expression in the kingdom is that we are pilgrims. We are journeying back home. You know that song? It means that we have gone to the market to, we have finished trading. Now you are homeward bound. You are a pilgrim. You are a stranger. That's how your father Abraham lived. Because he understood that Canaan was not the place. Heaven was the place. Our pilgrims. The best of what we build here must be tabernacles and tents. Nothing permanent. Because we will move. I don't mean you shouldn't build a house, Victor. What I mean by nothing permanent is that you must not be tied in your heart to anything here. Because this is not your final plane of expression. You're turning home. But when these sounds come, people abandon their pursuits. These sounds actually cause people to lose their focus. Sometimes they chart courses from scriptures that make people become gods unto themselves, where a man lives the rest of his life looking at himself. So there's a cry for discernment that must fill the land. Else the believers will derail by deception. Somebody say deception. If God gives us the time in this series, I will look deeply at the word deception. Because if you live your life in the realms of good or bad, you will not be able to pick deception. Deception is really marketed as something hurtful. Really. If you have bought spare parts before, Somebody will bring two spare parts. When he bought the spare part, he bought this one 50,000 and bought this one 8,000. So he calls this 50,000 one 60,000. And then he calls the 8,000 one 20,000. When you want to buy it, if they find out that you are a novice, he will say that 60,000 one is the bad one. Say this one, it's just shiny. That is this one that is good. He will sell that 8,000 one. We're supposed to be 20. He will sell it to you at 60,000. But you will not be able to bite into his bait until he begins to tell you many stories. When somebody bought this one the other time, he used it for only 2 days. So why are you selling it? Say, some people want it. You want it. So that you can come back tomorrow. Say, I don't want to just make money out of you. You know, they sound like they are friendly. He's selling one good thing, one bad thing, and it's making you look like you are his friend. Some will even say, you know, two of us are Yoruba. I should tell you the truth now. I've learned a rule. When I go to buy, I'm not familiar with the people. I believe that our relationship is based on your profiteering. So say, oh God, you are not my brother. Just what? Tell me the truth. Deception everywhere. Some people come to church like that. They don't pray at home. But beside you, bye-bye. You'll be wondering, I like to attend. There are some strange roommates that you can pick like that. That the reality they are bringing is sleep. It's not prayer. When they come into your room, your prayer life will die. They are contaminants. May you not meet them. I took one guy like that, huge service. Femi, that's his name. I won't tell you his surname. Femi looked like an angel. Until I went on an NCCF visitation trip, and I came back, and I saw our other roommate, William, sitting outside. Willie, it's late now. He said, can I enter the room? That we have a new occupant. Schools were on strike. Femi had successfully smuggled a damsel from another zone into our room. Ha! So I had to pack my load and relocate. Until one day, out of holy anger, I went to pick my shirt. So we went to church on Sunday morning. We used to attend Winners that time in Bill. And I saw that we were doing morning devotion. You are doing morning devotion? This guy is not even a Christian. It was in NCCF we met. We didn't know that was the lady that he followed. They were doing morning devotion under mosquito net. So when he went to pray, he went out to pray in their praying ground. We had found him out after a while. Anyway, when he went to pray in the praying ground, and I went to that sister. I said, you're my sister. If I meet you here after church, go ask of me. Terrible things will happen to you. So Femi went into the barracks to play. By the time he came back, his room was empty. He met a note. He didn't talk to me for weeks. Deception. That's why you can't just look around and anybody you like you marry. Because we know that a goodly man has sown good seed. But if men sleep, the enemy will have sowed tares. I'm trusting God that a day will come when we can boldly say about every one of us that we truly belong to Jesus. I don't mean legally, but experientially. That our lives yield according to the dictates of our Lord, in the name of Jesus. Okay. So there is a cry for discernment that must fill the land, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. Else the saints will derail by deception. There is the need to understand not just the words that the Lord speaks, but the nature of his speech. Our journey begins with the words that he speaks. But we also need to know that there is an accompanying nature, which is the signature of divine utterances. Also, we need to know how the enemy, what the enemy is saying, and how he says it, the nature of his speech. John, God can show you a dream, and the enemy can mirror the same dream. That you are a Christian does not mean it's only God that shows you dreams. You must be able to differentiate between what you saw and who is saying it. That's where discernment comes. If the enemy says this is the business to do, God can also say that business is the business to do. The outcome of that business, whether it will end in profiteering or indebtedness, whether it will lead to the abandonment of your pursuit of the Christ or not, is premised on first, not on how you run the business, but on who commanded it. I've shared it in this house before, that Satan can command a fast. Are you with me? It was in this building. I was ministering, and you know, those are the times that the spirit just started breaking out. So when he just starts your ministry, you do it everything. Everybody's. And then a lady was under the influence of the Holy Ghost from the back. And then she danced to the front here and fell down here. And said, "Toluwa loko, my son." Now that girl cannot call me my name normally, because by normal age, I'm older. I would be like an uncle. Say, "Toluwa loko, my son." What does that look like? Am I a son of the devil? So who should be calling me my son? Eh? God. So I listened. "Make this child fast from tomorrow, and you will see my mighty hand." But instantly I discerned that even though what was being said was good, it was a strange spirit. But you know, if I say, "Thou foul spirit," that's what young unwise ministers do. It starts somebody's wife in the future, and you are saying that foul spirit came out of her. The one that foul spirit did not come out of, brothers are saying, well, I suspect. Now you have confirmed that there is a space for foul spirit inside this one. I remember I was at my one suit that time for 2 years or two, about 3 years. I had one suit. It was a blue suit with white trimmings on the edge. Timon knows that suit. I wore it to every serious meeting that I went. When I want to do impartation, I like suit. So, is that one suit I will wear? With a blue shirt. I removed the suit and I just dropped it on her back. The utterance died instantly. Nobody asked me. Well, the people don't want to fast before, so they are pissed that Pastor didn't announce it. But one of our sisters walked up to me and said, "Sir, we have not started the fast. It was on the Thursday that she has started." I said, "I bought it too." He's a strange spirit, because that spirit was not about spiritual progress. That spirit was about dominion. The spirit understands that anything, any spirit that you obey like that, but become the slave of that spirit. So you can enslave a whole church by declaring a fast from a foul spirit. The spirit will control more than the fast. It will soon control sermons and will soon control behaviors. I hope you know you can fast into immorality. Can you whisper to your neighbor? Don't shout to say, "Be guided." Be guided. That's how we escaped that trap. It was a day of glory. We will have become a church of slaves. That need is urgent, and that's what we saw here. Is it possible that God gives an instruction and that he returns for an upgrade? Yes. But was it God championing this conversation? The answer was no. I perceive that Eve had not been schooled enough in knowing the nature of the speakings of God. What she was at home with was the utterances that God had spoken, And she was not even sure because she had a personally upgraded version. We'll come to that maybe in the second part of the series, but let's run now. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. I want to show you certain things that, instructions that Paul gave to his son Timothy. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly. It is with all conviction. It is with the totality of divine intention that in the latter times, a translation carries in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. So there is a possibility of departure from the faith. What do we call faith? It's not our faith for school fees. The faith was used to define a set of dogmas, is a doctrinal set that was downloaded from God that is supposed to give expression to life in Christ. It can't be upgraded. It came full. It was the same set of doctrines, teachings, belief systems that Jude was speaking about when he enjoined the believers to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Our faith has no upgrade. You see, Bible translations can change from King James and the NIV and the Good News Bible. Which other one do we have? That many Bible in basic English, contemporary English version, and then it goes to those other translations like the Message translation and the Passion translation. Amen. Some will depart. The word depart there is to indicate the abandonment, that they will begin to live life, give my scripture, by a new set of rules. And when the rules change from science, we know that the outcome will change. It means that their lives are going to yield a new set of fruits that are not originally captured as the set of fruits of the believer. Giving heed to what kind of spirits? Can somebody in the lexicon give me the word seducing? We want to be able to identify those spirits. What do they do? What do they look like? Do they come with horns? Or they have tails? What is a seducing spirit? Or somebody else in the dictionary can help us find the word seduction. That's from the lexicon. Yes, what does it say? It says deceiver. So deceiving spirits. Two is an impostor. That's a spirit that masquerades to be what it is not. That's what an impostor is. He meets you and says, meets the lady and says, I'm the GM. And lady gives the guy his form. Sometimes he sleeps with the lady. And then she comes back or gives him money and says, you have not given me a job. Maybe you are the GM. And then I say, GMK. He's a good man. Huh? He's not a general manager. That's an impostor. Somebody who is not saved, who calls himself a Christian, is also an impostor. Somebody who has, in whom God is cast and calls himself man of God, is an impostor. Are you with me? So, an impostor. What's the third one, sir? A misleader. A spirit that is a merchant of misdirection. He comes close to a man who is getting it right, and he tells the man, it's not like that. It's not like that. He comes to your house and says, man, why you are praying? You have prayed enough for a lifetime. Now you need to hustle. It's us last that will own the world. That's the 11th beatitude. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, teachings of devils. It means the devil also has a bank of teachings, just like we have our own bank of teachings, of principles, of patterns of existence that are captured in the faith. That's how some will live. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. They come up with utterances that look as if they have good intentions, but their actual intentions are masked. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. If you are lying to derail somebody, at least we think that you won't go too far if your conscience is alive. If God has stopped speaking to you, your conscience will be saying, but you are deceiving this person. Their consciences have been silenced so they can follow that path. If you hang around with a man or seared conscience, there is no possibility to his capacity to, there is no boundary to his capacity to deceive you. Because he doesn't feel sorry for getting into trouble. Those spirits many times are not self-operating. They operate in human bodies. So just like the Holy Ghost can speak to you directly to direct you. You remember that song? Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. There are also spirits that are designed to misguide the souls of men. So the songwriter did not end the song with the reality of communication. He ended the song with the source of communication. Because a seducing spirit can speak to reassure. This thing you are doing, we do need to, it will work home. That's how MMM wasted people. We shared MMM. Say it will work, it will work. You remember that? You know that song? It will work. Yeah. That's how the spirit. I'm not saying that song is my spirit. I'm just saying that they can. Who sang that? Is it a Christian song? Yeah. Okay, they sing the word of God in my. The lyrics look like a Christian song. The music looks like it came from there. God will help us. You know, I have enough enemies for a lifetime. Let's leave them. It will work, sir. It will work. So those spirits can keep urging a man. Say, I'm not saying it will work. Now say it go work, it go work. And the person continues until the person is destroyed. Waste his or her life. So they can also speak to reassure. They can see an opportunity in God and say, ah. Don't give yourself to that thing, no. So they can also urge men to hasten or to control, to be restrained. But the writer appeals beyond utterances. He appeals to an entity that he knows. Speak and make me listen. Thou guardian of my soul. You were assigned by God to ensure that I arrive at home. I have 7 minutes. This expression was to make us know that, you see, Paul was writing to Timothy as a bishop of one of the churches. It meant that the contents of his warning was not for people in secular dimensions. It was a warning from the church, because the person on the street who has not confessed Jesus as his Lord is not in the faith. This is a warning to those who are in the faith. People who began their journeys following Jesus. That it is not only God that you will hear as the world begins to close. It's a reality that is captured within a timeline. It's not only God. If you live long enough, you will hear strange voices, and you must have built a system to be able to beat their utterances and sustain your journey. Because many, and here the Bible uses the word some. I don't know what translation this is, but I saw this as I was studying. It says some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to misleading inspired utterances. So the utterances are inspired, but the aim of their communication is to mislead and teachings of demons. Church, we're in a season of voices and many visions. When I speak of voices and many visions, I speak of utterances, of prophecies, of revelations, and of many narratives of spiritual experiences. When spirits become very active in communicating, it's because they have an original intention in them, and in their intention is to reshape the civilization of the world to look like the civilizations that they represent. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, Victor, it is because he wants your world, the one that is under your government, the one that you interact with, to look like his realm in heaven. So he's called to alignment, he's called to labor, he's called to engagement, he's called to do business, even his call to marry is to produce heaven on earth. He wants a mirrored civilization. When a strange spirit wants to speak, he also speaks to create a mirrored civilization. So you can know what kind of spirit is speaking to you by the product civilization that their utterances create. When you begin to listen to a voice, it can be inspired teaching, but it becomes misleading inspired teaching, which is a teaching that is an activity of seducing spirits. When you see that the basics of the faith that you have begun to express have been eroded, it talks you out of prayer, it talks you out of purity, it talks you out of Jesus as the focus, it talks you out of your consciousness of a reward in the afterlife, it talks you out of a consciousness of Jesus as your model for existence, it places a lot of demand on your earthly relevance and no relevance to heaven. It takes away the limits on your associations and what you can do as a believer, because the life of a believer is limited limitlessness. What do I mean by that? It means that it's a life of many possibilities within a boundary. Your boundary is Christ. When it inspires that you can interact even in the realm of the spirit without boundaries, that you can meet any spirit that you want. When it stops teaching the realities of being in a kingdom which is subjection to the will of a Lord and not your soul, you know what that kind of hearing will produce. So all of us must pay attention to our lives. And when you have paid attention to your life, the next thing to pay attention to is your doctrine. What teachings you are communicating and that you have subjected your life to. Your life ultimately and progressively and ultimately will be a byproduct of the doctrines that you subscribe to. You are as pure as what you listen to. You are as righteous as what you listen to. You are as powerful as what you listen to. You are as focused on the Christ as what you listen to. These are the things that we want to teach in the utterances of the serpent. If you look deeper at your life, you will find out. And when you started listening to certain utterances, you lost God. I met a young man on campus who had issues around his sexuality. It was not persuasion. It was that he could sleep with anybody. And one of those counseling sessions that I had with him was my classmate. He was even a fellowship pastor. I won't mention the fellowship, but he was a fellowship pastor for 3 sessions. Because there was no other person who could pray, there was no other person who could preach. And the guy was good in these things, but he had a problem. And then one day he told me, he said, He said, Bishop, don't bother yourself. Anytime God is ready to take away this thing, he will take it away. This is how God saved him. If God doesn't like how he saved him, let God change how he saved him. Say he is not even concerned. At least God's work, he shall doing it. If you check, is that he listened to somebody who not, you know, the Bible says they speak lies in hypocrisy. They mask their real intentions and make it look like this thing we are telling you. I'll give you an example. Somebody can say to you, John, you are a young man. So, are you an old man? A young man? Young man or young boy? Oh, yeah, choose one. Okay, John says I say young boy. Are you John? You can be old boy. John is a young boy. Amen. Now, every young boy, just like a young man too, because I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked. You will contend with the wicked. The life of a young man is a life of contentions. That's by the definition of John the Beloved. That you're supposed to be a warrior to break away from the loss of your youth. So as a young boy or a young man, you will fight. But somebody can come and say, John, you have overcome the world. Say, don't worry. In time, this thing, let me say it's Yoruba. One thing Yoruba first, that if you don't consciously leave sin, don't worry. Just keep living. One day, sin will get tired of you. We'll leave you alone. Now, when you hear that kind of thing, it puts a pillow on your elbow to say, one day, go better. But you see, the older a man gets in sin, the darker his life becomes. Because the journey on the path of sin is a journey away from light. And age only gives you more mileage. It means age helps you. Every new year makes you cover more distance. So after a while, the person will be very dark. If you stand outside there now, it will be dark. The more you walk away from the light, the darker you'll be. That's what age does. It's a disadvantage to a man who has found the path of iniquity. When you become restless, he will break his yoke off from your neck. That was the promise to Esau, that what is lost can be re-entered into. But you will not be at peace. If there is an area of your life that the enemy is battering you, bring it before God all the time. Some wicked people say that just be conscious of your righteous state in God, that you don't have to be seen conscious. That's a lie in hypocrisy. It looks as if the person is preaching well to you, but he has intentions. He may not even know the intentions. The intentions of the spirit is to keep you in sin as long as possible. Knowing that when God gets tired of a man, he dishes that man out to a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. So that man begins to do things that are not convenient. I have to close now. But that's how it happens. If you have not heard anything in this first part of this series, remember that you are the sermons that you listen to. You are the teachings that you listen to. Your level of purity, your pursuit of the... Nobody came from heaven with the consciousness of the pursuit of Jesus. Nobody came from heaven with the concept of a pure lifestyle. Nobody came from heaven with the concept of prayers. You learned it in heaven. Nobody. All of us are a product of the sermons that we listen to. Where our walk with God, the God that we know, is even a product of the God that was introduced to you. There's a God that is being introduced that cohabits with weaknesses. And the last time I checked, I found out that God was void of weaknesses. So he commanded Abraham, be perfect. And we see that word recovered in the New Testament. Be perfect, because I, who has called you, is perfect. Unto Abraham he said, walk thou before me and be perfect. It means that perfection is possible. And while we are in the pursuit of perfection, what we need is the sound that if God says it is possible, it is possible. Any sound that subverts our pursuit is an utterance or a speaking of the serpent. It's not a voice of comfort. It's a voice of prediction. There are many sermons I start listening to. It's good in the beginning. It's good in the beginning. Once I hit on something, I don't forgive sermons easily. Because if you can say this thing, okay, maybe it's an unguarded moment, and you can say this thing, then I know that you may not know. But your frequencies have changed. Remember I said in a sermon, there is the possibility of frequency switching. Because many believers are still transistor radios. You know a transistor radio? It can pick 101.5, it can pick 101.2, it can pick 101.8. It means that radio can still manage many frequencies. That's how all of us were created. When we come on Tuesday, we'll continue. I will show you that a time must come when your mind must be consecrated. And how to consecrate your mind is that when you hear, when you find the frequency of the Holy Spirit, you break the dial so that it becomes impossible for you to switch again. Because Jesus said of his sheep in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. They follow me. The stranger they will not follow. It means that another intention of spirits beyond the creation or the mirroring of their civilization in the hearts of the one who listens to them is to command followership. What you are following now is what you are listening to. And if you change what you are listening to, your followership will be altered. It's as simple as that. You can't pray into followership. It's the hearing that is against followership. Can we bow down our heads? I'm done for tonight. What we need is help. The average young Christian sees Christ operating in him, but he also sees things that are not of Christ. And we're saying tonight, it is possible that you have been switched on to a frequency that operates contrary to the will of the Spirit. I understand that there is such a concept as the concept of self-deliverance. I want you to go before God and ask that he will show you mercy and break the hold of that followership. Let him reconnect you with the frequency upon which heaven is streaming. Ah, I don't want to displease you further. How can a man be pursuing purity and then what he's listening to is that it's not wrong to sin much more? How can a man be pursuing purity and what he's hearing is, see, all of us can we have a possibility of sleeping around, and that if you sleep around a few times, God will still forgive you. You are saved and saved forever. Tonight we reject strange frequencies. We stay our pursuit of Jesus. We find his voice by mercy and we stay with it. I refuse to yield. Oh, we choose your voice. We choose your voice. The Holy Ghost has been given to us as the guardian of our souls. And tonight we choose his voice. We reject every other voice. We reject every other voice. We reject every other voice. No matter who, whose vessels have become a steward to that strange voice, we reject, we reject, we reject. I follow Jesus. I hear his voice alone. I am not diplomatic with my followership. If you stop speaking his utterances, you lose my followership. You lose my friendship. You lose my association. I will stay in the midst of those who still bring forth his utterances. Only for Jesus.
day after day, I live for Jesus. Let come what may, and the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. One more time. We live for Jesus day after day. We live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, we will obey. We live for Jesus.
Listen, church, as an individual, as instructed by scriptures, I owe every man the depth of love, but I do not owe every man the depth of association. I do not owe every man the depth of friendship. My posture, as instructed by the Spirit, is to be friendly. I can be friendly without being your friend. You know the difference? I can be friendly. I said yesterday, I can be friendly without being your friend. Because I know that ultimately a man's life will yield according to the company that he flies with. I am careful about what I hear. And I know that men can change. So I don't have friends who are eternal. The eternal nature of my friendship is premised on your continuous alignment with Jesus. And I don't have to explain. My eyes is set that ultimately, as I grow progressively and ultimately, I will look only like one, Jesus. That's my aim. In private life, in ministry, my alignments are long, as long as there's an alignment with that which stems from the realm of God. If you make it a habit to say the things that Jesus is not saying, you will lose my association. And without effort, I'll just break off. But I will still love you. Because I owe you that one. It means I'll pray for you. It means I'll care about you. It means I can give to you. It means I can check on you. But I will not be seen with you. Because my allegiance is to one. The things I'm saying tonight are the things I'm saying. That if you love your life and you want God to reap from your life, you will take stock of the voices that speak over you and speak to you, and you will check even this boy that is speaking. Because me and John are boys. Even this boy that is speaking, you will check if what he's saying is what Jesus is saying. And if saying what Jesus is not saying, that is the door. Maybe when people leave, I will have sense. You cannot continue to follow when the serpent has started speaking. What God says is what I stand with. It's not open for rationalization. He spoke his words as a king. I received them as a subject. He gave them to me as a law. I am a citizen of his kingdom, so they are binding. They are not open to be rationalized. That's who a Christian is. He's a slave of the book. That's why Muslims are stronger in their expression than most Christians. Because a Muslim, he owes his allegiance to the book. How long would we be caught between two opinions? We know what God is saying, but we exalt the speakings of men than the word of God. How can a plain scripture become mangled and then given to you? You can read. John, you can read. Because you can read, God will not hold you guiltless. Because you have the Holy Ghost to bring to you the interpretation of what God is saying. It means you are not designed to live by the interpretations of a man. There is a sound in the landscape, a sound that advertises that it is intellectual in the things of God, but lacks the nature of God. his sound that merchandises on godliness. It's everywhere in the land. And we must rise up against it. And if God has sent you to speak to people, please take time and take heed to yourself and unto your doctrine. Because God will not hold any minister guiltless if we derail these little ones. The Bible says it is better that that man was not born. And if he be born, let them put a millstone on his neck and sink him. Let him die by drowning. Church, if God killed his son to birth the church, he will kill men to rescue the church. We won't be a company of contaminated people for too long. The judge will come, and he will judge those who have given habitation to the sounds of the serpent. He will judge them. I know that sound brings profit. That sound gives a lot of followership because it advertises an easy path. But the Lord didn't walk that kind of path. We were called by Lumi to walk in his steps. If you tread his steps, it will produce purity, it will produce power, it will give hope on earth, and it will bring joy in heaven. But we come on Tuesday after our communion service. We will advance in this discourse. We will finish on Sunday. So may the Lord bless and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he grant you peace. In the name of Jesus. Do we have any announcements?
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. Fellowship with us at His Worship Christian Network, HWCN, located at 4D on the G, Ogbomosho, Oyo State, Nigeria. You can also join us to worship on our e-platforms, MixLR, HWCC, Facebook, HWCNNG, Telegram, HWCN Global Group. God bless you.